Well, my name is Joel Wells. I'm the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church, and I just want to take this moment to also welcome those of you who are visiting with us today. It's so great to have you with us this morning. Of course, it's a special Sunday because today is Christmas Eve, and so as a result, we're not having our usual second service at 11:15 today. It will be at 6:30 p.m. tonight. And so it's the same service, so if you come tonight, you'll get a repeat, but maybe it was so awesome this morning, you'll say, that's not such a bad idea, I'll come and bring a friend. But next Sunday is also a special Sunday for us here at the church. It's our annual Testimony Sunday, and we only have one service again next week at 9:15 a.m., but I'm going to tell you, it's going to be powerful. I think it's going to be one of the most powerful Testimony Sundays we've ever had. We have five people that are going to be sharing some amazing stories of what God has done in their lives this last year. Some of them we've pre-recorded this week, and others are going to be live. But they're all going to be powerful. And so I think it'll be a great service to bring a friend to. It's really going to encourage you and build your faith. Also, next Sunday at 11 p.m., we're having a crossing over service, a one-hour service in the library, just to bring in the new year in worship and prayer upstairs in the library for all who would be interested in that. Well, over the last three Sundays, we've been doing a series of messages titled, His Name Will Be Called. It's been based on a prophecy from Isaiah regarding the birth of Jesus, found in chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah said, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We've been discussing that the language of this verse is like the language used in the coronation of a great king, with many voices proclaiming the attributes of this king and what he would accomplish. This prophecy came in a time of great upheaval and darkness. The kings of Israel and Judah were not following the ways of God. Destruction, war, and slavery were the results of their stubborn refusal to obey. But in the midst of this darkness, God was using his messenger to prophesy about a future day, a day when he would send his own son to be the Messiah. He would be the King of Kings. He would be the Lord of Lords. He would be Emmanuel, God with us, and he would deliver his people. The names that Isaiah said he would be called spoke to his character and what he would accomplish. And for the last 3 weeks, we've been focusing on them. I believe that as we have lifted up the name of Jesus over these last 3 weeks, we've been strengthened and we've been encouraged. And today, I want to quickly talk about this last name that Isaiah said the Messiah would be called, the Prince of Peace. But for us to understand how Jesus is the Prince of Peace, we first need to realize that there is a war for our soul. I have thankfully never personally experienced the horrors of war. Some of you have. But I have fought against an angry beast who could not be appeased. When I was a young boy, probably around the age of 8 or 9, I lived on an acreage in Manitoba with my parents and with my older sister, Tracy. Now, I was a pretty tiny kid. I'm still pretty short today. I didn't grow real big, but I was really small then. And so my sister, Tracy, at that time was bigger than me and stronger than me, but I was faster. She still thinks she's stronger than me. One day we decided to play a little game where we would take turns locking each other in the garden shed while the person outside would run around the shed and let the other one out. It was a trust game, I suppose, and I went first into the shed. Tracy locked the door, ran around, and like a good sister, she let me out. Now it was her turn, and into the shed she went. I locked the door, I ran around the shed, and then I stopped at the door and thought, maybe I'll leave her in here just a little bit longer. And I ran into the house to use the washroom. I would come back soon, I thought. I probably grabbed a book to read while I took my time in there. But somehow, in the process, I forgot all about Tracy in the shed. It wasn't until a while later, I don't know how long, I think over an hour, when my mom asked me, "Joel, where's Tracy?" And I remembered, she's still in the shed. When I opened the door of our house and looked towards the shed, I could see it shaking. There was a lot of screaming and shouting and pounding going on. And as I stood at the shed door, I tried to say I was sorry and calm whatever monster was now lurking on the inside before opening the door. But there was no appeasing the monster. And as I turned the handle and unlocked the door, I prepared to use my speed to run away. But my sister was now like a wild animal. And she leapt out of her cage with superhuman speed and pursued me like a lion leaping on a tiny gazelle. Quickly, she had me on my back. Her knees pinned my arms to the ground. Her full weight was on my chest as she sat on me. There was a rage in those wild eyes I had never seen before. And her mouth turned into a river of saliva as she repeatedly spit on my face over and over and over. I'm sure as I tell this story, you are overcome with empathy for me and the trauma I was experiencing in that moment. I'm sure you're also wondering what this story has to do with Jesus being the Prince of Peace. But I'm actually using this humorous story to illustrate a sobering truth. You see, in order to know Jesus as the Prince of Peace, we first need to see that we all need to make peace with God. There are many people who never look to Jesus as the Savior because they fail to see that they need one. They fail to see that they're actually at war against the Almighty God. They fail to see how repugnant their sin is in His nostrils and how His holiness is incompatible with sin. There is no way for sinful man to approach a holy God and have relationship with Him. His justice demands that sin be punished, and it arouses His righteous anger. I've talked to people who in arrogance proclaim they don't need a Savior. They say He is only a crutch for the weak. There is this idea that when they face God, they will defend themselves and plead their case. There is blindness to the darkness of their soul and this feeling that somehow they've done enough good deeds to appease the holy God. Let me tell you, there is no more chance of appeasing the holy God in our own goodness and with our own works than there was of me calming the beast that was behind the locked door in the shed. There will be no negotiating. There is a penalty for sin, and it must be paid. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That means the price that has to be paid for sin is death. The judgment for sin is an eternity apart from God. Hebrews 9:27 says, "Each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment." There's no escaping it. Paul said in Romans 3:23, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." You see, when man rebelled against God at the beginning of creation, sin came into the world, and there has been a separation with God ever since. Where there was once intimacy with the Creator, a chasm of our sin now stands between us and Him. Every person is born into sin. The seeds of sin are inside us. It's in our very nature. We don't have to teach our children to sin. It's innate within them.
And Romans 8, verse 7 says, "For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. There was one who enticed man to sin at the beginning, the devil. And he came," Jesus said, "to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's held man in his grasp ever since that time. We've been his slaves. We've suffered the consequences of a sinful, evil world. We live every day in the pain of our rebellion." Paul tells us in Romans 5, verse 10, that our sin has made us enemies of God. And so, without a Savior, we stand outside the grace and the love of God. We're objects of His wrath. Our destiny is judgment, and our lives are under the control of the devil and the sinful nature within. We lie and we cheat, and we steal and we gossip, and we hate and we fight, and we're selfish, and we're proud, and we lust, and the list goes on and on. My friends, on our own, we are lost forever. We are enemies of God, and we need a Savior. It's now that we need to hear the hope of the prophet Isaiah. "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." How is this child a Prince of Peace? He's the Prince of Peace because of what he came to do. He came to do what we could not. He came to satisfy the justice of God. He came to take our sin upon himself. He came to stand in our place and experience the wrath of God that our sins deserve. He came to provide a way for that chasm to be removed and our relationship with God to be restored. We saw in the first message that as the Wonderful Counselor, God is a divine strategist. He had a plan for our redemption even before He created the world, even before we even sinned against Him. We saw that because He's the mighty God, He's our hero, the one who came to destroy the works of the devil, the one who came to free us from the chains of our slavery. Because He is the everlasting Father, He loves us and passionately desires relationship with us to be restored, and He provides for us. And this was proven when He gave us the greatest gift of all, His own Son. John 3:16 says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." My friends, this is what Christmas is all about. It's about receiving the greatest gift that has ever been given, the gift of salvation through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus came for a reason. He came because God sent Him to save us. His purpose was to redeem man from his sin and restore his relationship with God. You see, God's love for us is as intense as His heart for justice. He demonstrated it by sending His Son to die for us. We celebrate the birth of a Savior, and it's all so peaceful and nice with angels and shepherds. But let me tell you, Jesus came to die. He came with a mission. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He accomplished that through what He did on the cross. Jesus willingly gave up His life for us. On the cross, He took all our sin and all our shame, all our wretchedness upon Himself. He stood in our place. The door of heaven was open like that garden shed, and the wrath of God was poured out on Him as He hung there, covered in your sin and mine. But on the cross, He offered us His righteousness in exchange. There was no sin in Him. So He gave us His righteousness, and He took our sin upon Himself. And we can receive His righteousness now simply by putting our faith in what Jesus accomplished there. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We simply make a choice to receive it. And when we make that choice, something amazing happens. We have peace with God. We are no longer His enemies, but we become His friends, and even more, sons and daughters for all of eternity. Listen to how the Apostle Paul describes it in Romans 5. He says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. He continues verse 6, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners." Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. What a Savior we have. A way has been made to be at peace with God. To open that door and not experience the wrath of God because His justice has already been satisfied. Our sin has already been punished. It's already been dealt with. Christ has made a way to open that door and become a part of the family of God. To experience only His intense love and to know the joy of His presence now and for all of eternity. And you see, once you have peace with God, you can now also experience the peace of God that comes in knowing that Jesus is always with you, no matter what. He's for you. He's not against you. He's a present help in times of trouble. And if He's present with you, then your circumstances lose their hold on you. Fear melts away. Anxiety loses its grip. If He's the wonderful Counselor, if He's the mighty God, if He's the everlasting Father, and if He's the Prince of Peace, then that changes everything about how we live in this world and how we view every situation that we are in. My friends, what do you call those hymns? At Christmas time, carols. I had a mind blank. I think it's in Joy to the World. One of the lines says, "Let earth receive her King." Today is a day to receive your King. Today is a day to bow your knee in surrender before Him, to make Him your Savior, to worship Him as the Prince of Peace. Before we leave this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do that here and now. Some of you are here this morning and you're outside of the grace of God. You've never bowed your knee in surrender. You've never said to the Savior, "I need you." You've never placed your faith in Him. And you need to do that today. Otherwise, you will one day face your King covered in your own sin and your own shame. And your destiny is destruction. But Jesus has made a way for you. He came to save you. He came to restore you. He died for you on the cross, and He offered His gift of salvation to you. Would you receive it this morning? I would just like everybody to bow their heads with me today as I close in prayer. I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus your Savior, to make Him the Lord of your life. I'm not going to embarrass anybody here today, but I am going to ask you this question. As I pray this prayer, do you need me to include you in this prayer of salvation this morning? If you do, would you just raise your hand where I can see it, and then you can put it back down. Is there anybody here who says, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Savior today? Thank you. I see some hands here raised this morning. Praise the Lord. Anybody else say, Pastor? Awesome. Hands all over the room today. You can place them down. Let's all pray together. For some, this is praying a prayer of salvation the first time. For others of you, it's a reminder of just what a Savior you've received. And as we pray, just begin to worship God in your own heart and thank Him. And let there be fresh surrender in our lives to Him today. Jesus, we come to You today with gratitude. We come in brokenness. We come in humility. We come in acknowledgement that we need You. We come in acknowledgement that without You, we're lost forever. Oh God, I thank You that You loved us so much to make a way for Your wrath, for our sin to be satisfied, for Your justice to be fulfilled. I thank You, Jesus, that You came and died for me. You came and took my shame and took Your sin upon Yourself. Oh, what a Savior You are. And today I bow before You in worship. Today I come to make You my King and to make You my Lord. I come to place my trust in what You did for me on that cross. Jesus, here's my sin. Here's my shame. I come to exchange it for Your righteousness, for Your grace, and for Your mercy. By faith, I place my trust in what You've done. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that You are the Son of God, the Savior of the world. You are the only one in whom salvation is found. Today, Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I choose to follow You all the days of my life. Oh, let there be peace with God. And let the peace of God rule in my heart, in my mind today, from this day forward, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed the prayer of salvation this morning, we have a little New Testament that we want to give you and a little booklet inside that says, Now What? You can grab it at the window on the way out. Just say, I prayed with the pastor today for the first time. We'd love to give that to you. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? We have refreshments for you in the foyer so you can hang around a little bit. As I said, feel free to grab one of those Bibles. If you're new today, we have a gift for you as well that we'd love to give you just as you leave. Just stop by the window and grab it. Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a great new year. God is good. He's an amazing Savior. Bless you.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.